Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
Yeah, man. I feel somewhat perfect. Absolutely perfect. You all listening to the perfect podcast.
Yes.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
And happy Good Friday to all you fucking good Catholics out there.
Yeah.
And happy Passover.
Happy Passover to all our kosher peeps.
Yes.
All right, we're live on Rant EM Radio.
We're live.
Rant Entertainment Media is the spot. Part of the Shining Wizards Network. As always, your gracious host, the Heavyweight Primate. The Impact Player, the Easter Hop Bunny, Rhea.
I like that. That was actually really good.
You like that. And joining me, as always,
Choppy.
That's right.
What's going on, everyone? I just want to apologize for last week. You know, work.
You never have to apologize for work, man.
You know, it is what it is. And I just want to say hello to Mario from Barrio, Mongo, Shay Lynn.
Everybody else is listening anonymously.
So, thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Good Friday.
Yeah. So, I was about to little Mr. Perfect would have been 60 yesterday, by the way.
God bless him. Oh.
Right?
Yeah, man.
Crazy.
And how dare the Miz to even put himself in the same vein as Mr. Perfect.
You know, the character evolved. The Miz evolved. Yes. I don't say he's perfect.
No.
But he definitely earn his stripes.
Absolutely.
He's a bona fide superstar, and I was not big on him at all.
He is the best heel in that company.
No, he's not.
You don't think so?
Kevin Owens is the best heel.
No way.
Absolutely.
You want to know why?
100%.
You want to know why he's not the best heel? Because he still gets cheered.
Yeah, but The Miz gets cheered too now. I don't know, man. You're not watching enough Raw. I'm telling you, man.
I'm not feeling it.
I'm telling you. Kevin Owens fucking prints money.
So, since we're on the Kevin Owens topic, who do you think is going to be Daniel Bryan's partner?
There's probably going to be Shane McMahon.
You think so?
Yeah.
A lot of rumors going around. It's going to be like Hulk Hogan, supposedly. And
nah,
then,
that's nonsense.
I don't believe it, though.
That's nonsense.
Again, rumors.
All right. Mario, yes, I will get to your message as soon as we're done with the show. We'll do the hat swap. I told Mario we're going to hat swap. I think he's from Texas. So I want to get some Texas swag.
Oh, I thought Mario was from, like, New York.
No, Mario is from the west side, west coast. Not west coast, he's from the west.
From the west, though. Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Mr. X who's listening. Also, he just texted me.
So how's he doing?
He is on a New Japan. I put him on to some New Japan, and we'll talk about New Japan in a few minutes. But it's like night and day. Mm. Like, you know, and Mr. X and I are the same age. So we
you really,
yeah,
he's younger.
Yeah, he looks younger because he's better looking. And he's in shape. That's besides the point. However, you know, I told him, I'm like, yo, he saw some AJ Nakamura shit from Japan. He was fucking blown away.
Oh yeah,
and I said it's strong style is a lot like Golden Era, except they don't tell as good of a story per se. As old WWF, NWA, WCW. So
I would agree with that.
So I put him on to that. So you weren't here last week. I opted not to do the show. I was going to do a show on Saturday. I came home, and I sat on my new couch. And Choppy just said, first of all, let me jump back a little bit. I got new furniture last week, and Choppy hasn't been here. So when he came up just now before, I'm like, dude, just sit in that chair and tell me how fucking dope it is. And Choppy sat down and he goes, I would have fell asleep in it. I'm like, that's exactly what I did today and last week. So I fell asleep in the chair. I'm like, I'm not going to do the show. I was going to do a show last week. But we're going to make it up to you guys because we're talking about probably doing two shows coming up this coming week.
Yes.
I'm going to do a Friday show, open mic. And we're probably going to – and then on Sunday at 1:30 is part of the WrestleMania lineup for the rant every year.
Yep.
Choppy and I are going on right before the pre-show, which is at 1:30. We'll be going on at 1:30. We're not doing the pre-show this year. Too much is going on. I got company coming over.
Choppy's, got a lot of planning, dude.
Choppy will be here, too. We're going to do the 1:30 slot, so we'll be done by 3:30. And we're going to be doing WrestleMania 4 30 years later. It was actually 31 years yesterday WrestleMania 3 happened.
Yep.
And for those who saw my Facebook post, I posted one last year, too. It's probably one of my favorite stories ever. My favorite Phil, you like childhood story. My grandma and my mom worked in a catering hall, and they did every weekend. They worked part. My mom was a bartender with the Rolling Bar.
I remember this.
And my grandma was my grandma Mary, rest in peace, was the bathroom. What do they call them? Maid of D's, I guess. Matrons. I don't know what you call them. Like bathroom attendants.
Oh, just the bathroom attendants.
Yeah, so she worked the bathroom. So my mom couldn't give me money to go down a block to the Ridgewood Grove Arena. If you guys listen to Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Don Tony talks about the Ridgewood Grove Arena.
Yep.
I lived in that neighborhood. I grew up in that neighborhood where the Ridgewood Grove Arena was. So I wanted to go to the Ridgewood Grove Arena and watch WrestleMania 3 on a closed circuit. And I begged my mom. She couldn't give me the money. And I was like almost in tears. I'm like, Mom, I got to see Andre the Giant beat Hulk Hogan. I got to see it. I got to see Please, I got to see WrestleMania. I got to see it. It was like the biggest thing. It was the first for me, the first mainstream thing in the newspapers, right? If that makes any sense. Because back in the day, it was getting there. Rock Wrestling,
yeah.
85, 86, 87. That was the fucking peak. It started going. So my grandmother basically emptied her fucking tip jar, and I had just enough money to get in, and I went, and I sat in a little boxing arena, and
I think you might have answered this to me. How many people does the Ridgewood Grove Arena?
A couple of hundred. It wasn't really big.
Really?
And when she died, I was at the hospital the night before, and she was in the ICU, and she was not like. She was trying to breathe. She couldn't. She had really bad emphysema, and she was, you know, that was part of what killed her, her breathing difficulties. And she was breathing so bad that they had her on this, it's called a CPAP, continuous oxygen air pressure. It's like a machine that constantly forces oxygen down your throat. It's a CPAP. And I walked in there like 1 in the morning. I just got off work. And I walked in my uniform, I flashed my shield. Nobody was allowed in the ICU, and the nurse saw me, she let me in. And I walked in, and she opened her eyes, and she's like, I tried to talk, what are you doing here, go home. Like, she tried to send me home, and you're tired, you go home. She kept saying, you're tired, couldn't breathe, like, go home, you're tired. And I said, I need to see you. And she knew she was on her way out, I knew she was on her way out. And I said, I just want to thank you for letting me go see WrestleMania, because it was a good deal. Like, it was fucking awesome that I sat there and I saw it, and it was the first live pay per view I watched, because WrestleMania 1 and 2 was on videotape for me. You know,
yep.
My godmother had gotten my godmother worked in the court system. She would get the tapes from a friend on Long Island, and I would come in and I watch them. But WrestleMania was the first live event I ever watched. Besides, the main events weren't even taped. The main events weren't even live, you know? So, it was a big deal. It wasn't my favorite, but it was the live shit. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm just... It's very fucking... Like, when you think about that shit, it's, It makes you appreciate everything in life.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? That's why I try to give Michael every ounce of wrestling I can, because he likes it so much. Sometimes I force it on him. Like Sunday, I forced New Japan on him, and he couldn't watch all of it because he was like back and forth. Whatever. He's a kid. And nobody understood. Everybody like in my family, they kind of liked wrestling, but they didn't like it like I liked it. You know, and they understood why I liked it, so they never like. Deterred me from it. You know what I'm saying? You know, the only one that didn't understand was my dad. My dad's like, you still watch that shit? I'm like, yeah. But Grandma Mary, she was just a good person, you know? And she wasn't even like my biological grandmother. She was my sister's grandmother, my mom's second marriage. And, she took care of me a lot, you know, when I was a kid. And she died. When she died, I was heartbroken because, she was very sick. And nobody can help her. It was too late to help her. But I called my sister from the outside of the hospital, and I was like crying. I'm like, listen, I says, I just saw Grandma. I said goodbye, and I thanked her for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a deal, you know? And, you know, with pro wrestling, everybody has a story. Like, I remember, like, when I first met Choppy, after my initial meeting with him, we started talking on the phone and on Facebook, and we met up in the parking lot of a supermarket, and it was like fucking 95 degrees outside. He said, we're talking, he started talking to me about how he first got into wrestling, and that's where you started, and everybody has like they knew where they were, they knew who you were with, you knew what match it was, you knew like the day. I mean, I can't tell you what I had for dinner 2 days ago, but I can tell you what I was wearing 35 years ago, and I tell you where I was sitting watching it. And it was the Ridgewood Grove Arena 31 years ago. So, Grandma, thank you. I love you. And thank you for supporting me. Always.
Ring that bell, goddammit.
Yeah. But I didn't mean to bring the room down or anything. But, you got to understand, everybody there's a starting point in this whole thing. And in 1983, 84 was mine. And I didn't really appreciate, I mean, I started to really appreciate it as I got a little older, because it was more mainstream. You know, like I said, as soon as Hogan won the title in Rock and Wrestling, and then WrestleMania took off. And I was listening to a Roddy Piper interview the other day, an old one on Colt Cabana. And he was talking about, like, Mania and how he was, how they utilized him and what could have been different and all that. I won't get into that, but you could tell at the time, there was so much going on that guys were being underused all the time. And you and I have this conversation almost weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Where guys are not being used. Why wasn't this guy champion? Why wasn't this guy champion? And every time you ask me the question, I tell you that it's just because they didn't know what to do with them. You know, like, I would have made King Kong Bundy the world champion at one point. I would have made the one-man gang, all these big dudes, stud. Like, I would have made all these guys world. I would have made Orndorff a world champion.
That's one guy I still, and I agree with you. I know your boy doesn't agree with us. But you, was it Chris, I think, doesn't agree with us?
Probably. He's yeah, because he's a Hulkamaniac. Yeah.
I still think he should have been world champion. At
yeah.
least once.
Yeah, it could have happened.
And Piper, too, because Piper was a heat magnet at that time, too.
Yeah, Piper tells a really good story on how he started. And he said by the time he got to New York, he already had heat. Because every way he went, he had to work himself up from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Portland or Georgia or Mid-South, like wherever he was at. In the territory days, when you were brought somewhere, you had to work your way up before they let you go. If they were going to do anything with you, you had to be worked up. So by the time he got to New York, it was a whole different ballgame. Like a whole different ballgame, you know? So, you know, he has his opinions on how he was used, and, you know, he would tell them, like, you know, why am I going to lose here and then lose again at WrestleMania? Like, you know, and they were about the storytelling. And part of the reason why I'm still sitting here 5.5 years later is because that's where I appreciated the actual entertainment of it, is that these guys can go in and they can tell a story, you know? And I know I sound like a broken record with the new shit, and rightfully so, because you have a problem with the mic, you all right?
I'm good.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. No, it's fine.
I gave you a stand because these arms are good, but they're uncomfortable sometimes. So, you know, it's really hard for me sometimes to emotionally, not because I guess it's because I'm older, but emotionally invest in some characters that are out there now, because to me they don't tell a good story. And now guys are using social media, which is cool. The Joey Janelas of the world and the Chris Dickinsons of the world and, you know, Jocka and all these other guys, they're all using Joey Ryan, they're all using social media as a tool, called Cabana. They're all using social media now, and they have different outlets, different avenues, and I appreciate that. I really do. But from 1983 to about 1993, you couldn't fucking talk. You couldn't touch anything. At that point, everything was, even when WCW was broke away from the NWA between 89 and 92, 91, whatever it was, it was a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, you know, it's not like it is today, and I'm glad that my son appreciates it, and I'm glad that our fan base, and I'm glad that you, being the age that you are, have this this passion for the old shit, because I feel like your generation was basically force fed the glamour and the fucking hardcore and like the tits and ass and the attitude era, and it was not in a bad way, but it was like you had, when you went back and watched it, the old stuff, you were kind of conflicted. Like,
I was jaded a little bit.
A little bit, right? You're like, why didn't this happen, and why couldn't this guy could have went with this guy, that girl, and then you start, like, piecing shit together. And as we approach the sixth year of the show, I feel like I've told enough of a story on the show with the throwbacks that we do that that I hope everybody appreciates the deal. You know, I was talking to Mr. X the other day. He sent me a link to another show that I should listen to, and it's similar to ours, except they have, like, more of a production thing, and I just wish I had more time to invest in the show, in this show, that, you know what I'm saying? But being an adult sucks. We all know that. And I feel like I've done enough so far that everybody appreciates what we're doing here. Whether it was you or Dave or Scott or anybody else who filled in with me, you know, it just doesn't matter. There's such a good story when I think about, like, the WrestleMania 3 story and, like, going to matches, and now I'm reliving some of the stuff on the network. It's fun to reminisce to my family, too, to you, because, well, you're basically family now. You're here all the time. You're with me. We do things together. Our families are intertwined now. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love telling stories, because that's what wrestling is. It's a fucking story.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, you're a macho man. Mark. You know, you can appreciate. And as you got older, you learned how meticulous he was how much of a planner he was and how much of a great guy he was to putting guys over and all that other stuff. And all of a sudden, when you learn stuff about your guy, you're like, oh, man, this is great. This is fantastic.
And the one thing about a lot, you know, things like, for example, the one thing that blew my mind about him, it wasn't the fact that he was a great guy. It wasn't the fact that he was a great wrestler. It was also the fact that he actually lived on this fucking island at one point.
Yeah.
And that just, when I found out about that, I was like, what? That's amazing. You know, it's stuff like that that gets me even more, become more of a fan of this guy, you know?
Yeah. So,
could you imagine if Dusty lived in Staten Island?
Yes. Can you imagine? I don't know. I'm still amazed that I live on the same island as you know, Method Man and...
Yeah, of course.
You know, guys like that, so... And the guy from... The guy Juice from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Forgot his name again.
Damn it, Italian dude.
Yeah, he's on Staten Island. Like, we see him in the mall, you know?
He's a nice guy, yeah.
Shaylin met freestyle singer George Lamont, who apparently lives a couple blocks away from here, apparently. You know, and New York, listen, I'm from New York. Choppy's not. Choppy lives here, and he's lived here long enough to appreciate the city. I've outgrown the crowdedness, but this is still the greatest city in the world. It's the mecca of sports. It's the mecca of sports entertainment. It was the birthplace of hip-hop and graffiti. And it was the birthplace of the New York Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, 100 years of greatness, 27 championships. It's the home of the greatest underdog team of the world, the New York Metropolitans, and it's the birthplace of New York hardcore and punk rock. So, you know, it's cool to be a wrestling fan, but it's also cool to be a wrestling fan and be from New York. You know, there is no place like here. And this is no disrespect to the Midwest or the South or the West Coast or the West itself. You know, I'm New York biased when it comes to wrestling because, again, this was the birthplace. You know, the Garden was the birthplace of sports entertainment. Like Vince and his dad had the venue first, and Vince did. And when Vince got it, Vince took a shot. That was it, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, what else is going on? Let's we talked about me and Choppy. So the reason why we're late tonight, Choppy, of course, was coming from home from work, and I have not been groomed in several weeks, and I'm
fucking savage.
Yeah, so I went to my barber, who's on the other side of the island, who lives not too far from Choppy. So it's like straight up, this barbershop is like out of an Ice Cube movie, you know. It's a hood place, and
yeah,
you know, they take care of you. They take care of their customers. So I took a fucking train ride out there, and I was like, yo, I had to get my shit fixed, you know. So that's why we were a little late tonight, and I apologize. However, there's a lot going on in wrestling. We have an awesome throwback for you tonight. It's a happening. There's a couple things on the docket though. So like I said, next week you might get two shows. April 27th, we're going to be live again from Glendale, Queens, from Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart, yep.
Sacred Heart Slam. I spoke to the Brass.
Okay.
And they are going to, you know, send some guys our way.
I would really like to get John Rage on here one more time.
Yeah, we're going to, as a matter of fact, shoot John a message this weekend. I'll let you do this. You can take care of this. Shoot John a message. Let him know that, you know, we want to get him on the show soon in April.
Yeah.
There's another guy that wants to come on the show. I forgot his name already. The guy they call the coach.
Oh, Chris Momo. He's awesome.
Chris wants to come on, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I love him.
He already told Sal and them. I told Sal he can call in too.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
So, you know, I feel like, you know, that this is a cool thing that we're doing. Now we're more prepared for it. This is going to be cool. Because, you know, me and Choppy didn't know what to expect the first time. So yes, when we got there, we felt like one of the boys because they all walked up to us. They shook our hands.
Yeah,
and
I was like...
They knew who we were, which is fucking weird. You know, and Bree was talking about getting us t-shirts to sell and stuff like that. So now we're going to be calling the action. We're going to have a run sheet. We're going to have a better view.
And maybe I won't act like such a fucking asshole when I call the action this time. I mean, what was this? You guys are going to be driving through the
Parkway of Belt. Yes.
Yes, we are. The Parkway of Belt.
Yes. Choppy, I hope we'll have the day off that day so we can just...
I will definitely have to get that day off. I'm sorry.
So we'll make a day of it and, you know, we'll go into the old hood. Maybe we'll go in early. Maybe we'll go to Ridgewood and I'll take you to a good spot for lunch or early dinner.
Yeah, what was that pizza spot that you told me
about? Oh, Corrado's.
Yes.
Corrado's, or we can go to, there's a fucking, is it Ecuadorian? I'm not sure. It's almost like a Portuguese, not Portuguese, you know, a barbecue spot on Forest Avenue?
Yeah.
It's something like that, but it's more Central American.
That's fine.
It's pretty dope over there. There's a lot of food spots where I grew up. I've been lucky because my EMT refresher is in Jackson Heights, Queens, and that's like Central and South American haven. You come off the fucking... the train, and dude, there's a Colombian restaurant right on the corner, bro. I was eating empanadas and bunuelos for fucking breakfast. You know what a bunuelo is? A bunuelo is this giant ball of dough.
Okay.
It almost looks like a zeppoli without the powder.
Okay.
And they deep fry it and they cook it, and the dough has some kind of cheese baked in it. It's not cheesy. It's a cheese baked in it. It's a dessert. It's fucking fantastic.
All right, cheese and dessert is an oxymoron for me, so no thank you.
No, not like cheese as in the cheese that you don't like.
I'm talking about
they cook, you don't taste the cheese. You don't taste, there's no, the texture, it's basically a giant, you like Zeppelis?
I do like Zeppelis, yeah.
It's a giant Zeppeli without the powdered sugar.
Ooh.
Dude, I'm telling you, I won't steer you wrong. I go back to school in a month. I'll bring back another bag full of them. You got to come by and have them. You heat it up in a microwave for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
You know me and desserts.
Yeah. This is basically their breakfast.
Okay, good.
They basically serve dinner for breakfast, these people. Colombians are...
What do you mean by these people?
The Colombian, not those people. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Sorry, you pain in the ass.
Chop, he's a pain in the ass.
So... yeah. The Choppy can be Phil's Chris Cruz. The other way around, man. Choppy was the fucking all-star of that game.
I don't know about that.
You got more reviews, better reviews than I did on that fucking show.
What was the guy's name that looked like Primetime Brian Lee? He says, oh, look at Brian Lee using the educated feet.
The educated feet.
Oh, man.
So we got a lot of stuff on the docket. You know, I'm really excited about WrestleMania 4 next week. It's 30th anniversary.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great.
One of the greatest moments.
Yeah, for you anyway.
Oof.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think we can maybe get some fantasy booking in there, too. Like, you know, because, again, we talked about Andre and at that time, Andre and DiBiase with the title and all this other shit. But
I mean, I know it's a lot of people don't like that WrestleMania because it's a tournament. I fucking love that WrestleMania because it was different because they used a tournament.
That tournament and the Wrestling Classic was my favorite.
Yeah?
I don't know. Did I do the Wrestling Classic on Turnbuckle Throwbacks? If not, we have to do it.
Yeah.
We have to.
Deep fried Oreos. How about deep fried Twinkies? Those are the best.
Yo, when Nick German stood me up a couple of years ago in Maryland, we stayed the weekend. We went to a 4th of July, like a festival, whatever it was, like a thing, right? And they had like these food trucks, right? And they had a deep fried Snickers bar.
Yes, those are great. Those are good,
bro. I was like, if I ate these all the time, I'd have a fucking heart attack. I would have this thing was so good. Mikey had like this the biggest what do you call those funnel cakes?
Yeah,
Mikey had a giant fucking funnel cake.
And he ate the whole thing.
Of course he did.
Of course,
today we're in McDonald's, right? This, you know, Mikey's a machine, right?
Of course.
So Mikey is in, and we're doing the whole, they have the thing now, the, what do you call that, the, where you can pick your food, the kiosk?
Oh, yeah, the little kiosk, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
they have a kiosk where you can pick your food, and they bring it to you now. So he's making his own meal, right? So he makes himself a double fish sandwich. Right.
What?
So wifey said, do you really need two fucking fish fillets? And he goes, I do. She's like, you're not getting two fish fillets.
What a human garbage disposal.
Right, and then he's going to his father's house for a plate of mussels. So he had mussels waiting for him at his dad's house.
Jesus Christ.
So I said to him, like, you want to come back to the house tonight and hang out with me and Choppy? He's like, no, I'm going to dad's house. He's got mussels. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Also, Mongo is one of the people that does not like the WrestleMania 4.
You know what, dude? He's not alone. He's not alone. I spoke to a ton of people that didn't like it.
Yeah.
The year after is dope. That's Hogan and right. That's in the Hogan
Memorial. Oh man.
That's Sky Dome. Yeah, we'll talk about that next year.
The following year was again an AC, but it was Hogan and
Savage.
Hogan and Savage, and then after that was then Toronto. Was
Toronto, yeah. But
oh my god,
man! Let me tell you, WrestleMania is a special time.
Yes, it is.
You know, and like I was even when I was doing the CMT refresher before I got my schedule, I'm like, there's one day I can't come in. And he looked at me, I'm like, it's April 8th. He's like, what the hell is April 8th? I'm like, it's my Super Bowl. And he goes, oh, you're one of those, right? And I'm like, yeah,
one of those.
I'm one of those. Yeah, my son is human vacuum. He's a fucking machine that refuses to stop.
You think it's bad now? Wait until he hits that 13, 14 mark? Oh, it's going to be over.
Yo, I told my wife, you better start getting groceries delivered to the house, doing that Peapod gimmick, because this motherfucker. And you know what's funny? And you've been with him like for a couple hours at a time.
Oh yeah.
There are days where he won't eat. Like there are days where he'll eat maybe once a day, just because he's tied up in video games or his wrestling figures or we're going out somewhere. Like he's just, his mind is somewhere else. Like at Disney, he wouldn't eat. We had to sit him down and force him to eat because it was so much. His brain was overload, right? But then there were days, like the one day where you picked him up and brought him to the ferry for me, and
he had
pizza at the ferry.
Then he had McDonald's.
Then he had McDonald's. And then he wanted more food. Then we went to the diner afterwards.
Oh, that's right.
Went to the TikTok.
Yeah.
And he said to me last time, we're going to the TikTok? No, bro, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're going home. We wanted to go to TikTok with Rob the last time we were there.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
Like, yeah, again, human garbage disposal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's a special time. It's a special time of the year. And, you know, it was a time where it sets the tone for the rest of the year. And we're always optimistic at this time of year. We always hope it gets better and all this other shit. And it never does, whatever. And
I think, we always hope, like you said.
Of course.
Like last year. Remember last year? Yeah. We popped big. Big for the Hardy Boys when they popped out.
Sure, sure.
We lost our minds. We couldn't believe it was the Hardy Boys because they were teasing it for so long. And then, you know, when New Day popped up, and they're like, yeah, who could that four team be? We thought it was the New Day. And I was like, all of a sudden, the Hardy Boys music hit, and we lost our fucking minds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this year, I think now that they had that big surprise last year with the Hardy Boys, I feel like they have to surprise us this year now. And I think we're going to have a big surprise with Braun Strowman's tag team partner. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
I don't know. All I know is that it's another fucking 4 or 5 hour extravaganza.
I heard it's longer now.
I heard that the indie promotions getting AA post something on the rant today that the Louisiana State Athletic Commission is banning certain moves.
So there's no pile driver from what I...
Yeah. And there's like a bunch of shit. So, listen, we're from New York, and New York has probably one of the strictest, to the point where when ECW came, they had to put the mats out, and they couldn't do this. There was a curfew and, you know, whatever, and, you know. And, you know, there's a thing where it's, you know, it's hard to explain because... You're supposed to suspend your disbeliefs, right? And every year people, you know, there's so much going on, like the internet and stuff. It kind of ruins it now, you know. It's like we kind of knew the Hardy Boys were coming, but we didn't expect it.
We weren't sure.
We weren't sure that they would come up the night after. And not only that, it was because, remember, they showed up at ROH and then Right. Oh. So, like, that weekend, they wrestled for ROH like the night before. You know, it's... I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm excited Daniel Bryan's back.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be Shane? Because the whole...
Yeah, Shane was apparently in the hospital with some infection or whatever. I think he'll be all right.
Okay.
Unless it's going to be a three-way.
I don't know. But, you know.
This is what's going... I don't know if it's going to happen, but this is what I've read in certain reports about with the finish of that match. It could be a possible Daniel Bryan heel turn.
Yeah.
Where he has Shane as his tag team partner, and then at the last minute he screws Shane at the in the match.
I think the fans want that to happen.
I don't want that to happen.
I know you don't, but that's
It's Daniel Bryan.
Right. And listen, let's be honest here. You know, everybody's really... all of a sudden, fans are doctors all of a sudden, too. You know, it's like, I'm just sick of it. Like, you know, he's been cleared. Fine. WWE plays along. They release their statement. Fine. He's good to go. Now, it ain't like he got cleared like with a doctor's note and he can go back to work the next week. I'm sure he was cleared a minute ago, like a while ago, and he's been training. He's been working out, yeah. You know, because, again, it's his style is basically strong style. So,
it is.
Right. So he's a smaller guy. You know, he probably had to get back into fighting shape, you know. I'm sure he's been in shape the entire time. I'm assuming he was, right? But let's be honest here. Like, they're not just going to force him in. They probably implemented this. They probably had this going 6 months ago.
I'm sure they had a plan.
You know, fans are just fucking dumb. I'm sorry. No disrespect, but you're all fucking sheep, basically, as you would say. They're all sheep.
Yep.
That happened, you know?
Pastor Sadell's in the house.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus!
Hello, sir.
I spoke to Will Morgan today. He's supposed to come in the chat room, he said.
Is he coming?
Oh, dude,
I hope he is. Yeah, me and Will have been talking a lot of Dragon Ball Z lately.
Oh, have you?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't talk that lingo to you.
You don't like anime.
I just never got into it. I don't dislike it.
No, correction. You do like anime because you watch fucking Voltrons and G-Force.
G-Force. And I like, what was the one that had the missiles coming out of the titties? Akira.
Oh, yeah, Akira. Yeah.
That chick shot missiles out of her titties.
Was it Akira?
Yeah.
I forget. I've seen so much anime.
Missile titties, bro. I like missile titties.
What about the woman from Total Recall who had three titties?
She's all right. She was all right.
Yeah.
Anyways. Anyway. So, I mean, I'm happy. And listen, I want to stick with WWE for a second. Guys, do me a favor. Leave Ronda Rousey alone. She had that guy interviewed her, basically put her on the spot, you know. And guy from ESPN. I forgot his name. Already.
Oh, they were really like,
yeah, they had her on ESPN, and she was like a deer in headlights. Oh, man. Listen, Ronda Rousey is printing money for WWE right now. Between the merch and the mainstream media, she is, bro. It's
maybe mainstream media, but not merch.
She's definitely selling merch.
She's selling not as much as...
I'm telling you, she's selling merch. And let me say something else. For a mainstream athlete to get this much hype in wrestling now is amazing. Because the last time this happened, like, it was like Mike Tyson, and that was in the 90s, and he wasn't even that popular at that point.
And I'll tell you right now, I think she has already surpassed Floyd Mayweather with the whole Big Show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
10 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit more than just what Floyd did.
And, you know, you and I said before she came in that she needed a mouthpiece, only because we never heard her speak, only in UFC. So, me, I'm like, listen... A third of your roster cannot speak. And I'm talking about, when I mean not speak, I mean not being able to capture the audience the way certain other guys and girls did, okay? Not that you can't speak as in carry a conversation, because most of them can do that. However, she cannot. Why? She's been in wrestling, what, a couple of months, basically?
Yeah.
You know? And I read so much crap on the interwebs. How come she didn't go to NXT? How come she's in the mainstream? Because she's a legit badass.
And she's a star.
She's a legit... Listen, she beat up people for real, Chops.
Yeah.
She beat up people for real. She didn't fucking... She's not faking this. Like, well, she's faking it now. But she didn't fake it before. Leave her alone. Like, she's nice on the eyes. She can kick your face in, and she's a star, like you said. Like, let's dead it.
She's gonna draw a lot of people into that stadium, and she's gonna make people get that subscription, because a lot of people that don't watch the product are gonna be like, wow, I need to see what she's gonna do.
Yeah, the casual fan is either gonna pay $70 for WrestleMania, or they're gonna buy it on a network.
Correct. That's it.
That's it. Bottom line, if anybody thinks differently, you're bugging.
I'm pretty sure she's already sold a couple hundred thousand subscriptions just because she's tied already to WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's a fact.
And if that happens, you know the Monday after WrestleMania is going to be huge, because people are going to be like, what is she going to do next tomorrow night, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal.
Speaking of Louisiana, Nick German's friend got a show named after him.
Good for him.
That was cool. We read that today. Nick won't be here tonight. He said he has some family obligations, so he's going to get it on a download. So
okay.
That's pretty cool, though, that happened. I read that today.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy for him. Speaking of Facebook, 600 likes on the Facebook page, on the main page.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody who's been listening, downloading. I'm getting a lot of cool feedback. Really happy. We sold a couple more T-shirts this week.
Nice.
Thank you very much for that. And all right, so I want to talk. All right. Anything else from WWE?
I just like the new NXT North American title.
Is that the final product?
I don't know if it's the final product, but that's what it's going around all the net. If that's what it's supposed to look like, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
It's very old school.
It's cool.
I like it. Other than that,
they need a mid-card belt. They need it too.
I've been saying that for years.
I know you have.
And then people are like, oh, dude, no.
God. There's too many people. There's too many stars there, man.
You can't have everyone going for the fucking NXT title.
You're right.
The mid-carders have to fight for something.
Yeah, so next week we'll give our predictions for NXT TakeOver and for WrestleMania.
Did you see EC3's interaction with William Regal?
No.
Oh.
Was it this week?
That was his debut today.
Oh, I'll watch it tonight.
Oh, he was gold.
I'll watch it tonight.
Gold.
I'll watch it tonight. go ahead. No, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me cut you off.
William Regal announces the North American title, and all of a sudden EC3 comes out, and he's like, William, if I had known you when you signed me, if I had known you were going to give me the belt tonight, I would have signed years ago. Thank you, bud. He did. It was great. He's awesome. I love EC3.
Yeah, no, he's a talent, man. He's a talent.
What is War Machine going to fucking debut? And it's going to have to be after Mania.
Why not? Maybe it'll be at TakeOver.
Maybe. It may be.
Right?
Oh, man.
I'm sure they did all the tapings and all that, so.
Fucking War Machine's going to be money.
Right?
That's going to be your LOD right there.
Yeah, man. I'm excited, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I'm excited.
When is your boys the AOP going to go up, man? Those guys are money. Those...
Yeah. I'm getting a message that we might be getting a road show. We are getting a road show tonight.
Okay.
So I think our man on the street is trying to call us from the location.
Oh, excellent. Please.
So let's get that, and then we'll talk about Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club. And so, you know.
Mary the Barrier, North America without the Mexico. Without Mexico on the belt.
It's true.
It's, like I said, it's probably going to be on the Central American title.
Hold on a minute. Let's see here. Ladies and gentlemen, our man on the street. Hello, sir.
Howdy, howdy, folks. How are you guys doing?
What's going on, Maniac Matt? Where are you at this week?
We are in the pack rack capital of the world. We are in Macon, Georgia, my friends.
All right.
I don't know if you can hear the banjos going on in the background, but it is what they call a hoot nanny over here right now. And we are at the world's largest wrestling pack rat trade show west of the Mississippi, folks. And it is amazing of the different things that are on display here. Now, I hope I'm not out of line, but I'm not the best person to really express how unique these items are. So I was wondering if I can bring a guest on that he can kind of help me out.
Absolutely.
Okay, you want to come over and do this now? Okay, thanks. Let me go. Hello, is this Choppy and Phil?
Yes, it is.
How you doing? This is Dylan West. Dylan West here, and we have Nick Jim Tan. Quality stuff. Now, I know there's a lot of speculation. Choppy reported last week that I died. I'm alive. I'm still alive. Don't worry about it. We got up next right here. You can get this on FlexPay, folks. It is a Rey Mysterio Lego knee set. Put it back together. Absolutely fantastic. We have it in regular. We have it in Duplo. Get it in Duplo. I know you got a little one, Choppy. Get him the Duplo knee set. Take it apart. Rebuild it. Fantastic. Right next to that, I've got a Papa Shango chemistry set. Make your sister throw up. Make her throw up. Papa Shango chemistry set. What do we got over here? Mint Jam 10, never been opened. Jeff Hardy strawberry candy prescription. They're candy. They're strawberry candy pills. Pop a pill like a Hardy. Pop a pill. Be dialing, folks. Be dialing. I've got a Tammy Stitch sheet set. You put a black light on it, it looks like an Andy Warhol painting.
Oh!
It's all over the place. It's a magic eye. I think I see a rocket. Holy cow, what else we got here? I got a Goldberg window scraper. Oh. Goldberg window scraper. Bust it out. No more snow. What else we got here? You guys want to keep going? I've got products forever. I got a Virgil tear towel. A Virgil tear towel. Wipe your tears. It comes with unlimited breadsticks. Unlimited breadsticks! You guys like video games?
Of course we do.
I got a Honky Tonk Man Guitar Hero. But he won't do it on a podcast. He won't come on the show. What a jerk. I got Dino Bravo Duck Hunt. Dino Bravo Duck Hunt. You guys like racing. I got a Lex Express racing wheel. It smells like a bad relationship.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Don, that's crazy.
We've got some other regular collectibles. I got a Cagney and Lacey salt shaker. Cagney and Lacey salt shaker. One's a little bit more salty.
Yeah, it's absolutely more salty.
I got a Michael J. Fox shake weight.
Oh, my goodness. This is fantastic.
Be dialing, folks. Get it on FlexPay.
FlexPay.
Okay. Get it on FlexPay.
Yeah, absolutely. Be dialing.
Buy a shirt. Turnbuckle shirt. Buy one. Buy Choppy's dad socks. Buy something.
Wow.
Hold on. I'm going to turn this back.
Oh, man.
Wow, that guy has a... Whoa.
Dude.
He has a lot of energy.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's what I couldn't do what he does. He's unique in that. So,
yeah, you ain't lying.
Come on out. I can't compete with that. So come on out to Macon. Check out all of this wonderful, wonderful knick-knack and bric-a-brac. And, yeah, I mean, there's so much. It's amazing.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome.
Dino Bravo Duck Hunt is really fun, though.
I just found the name.
It's one level.
I just found the name of the episode.
Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo Duck Hunt.
Fantastic.
Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Listen, I want you.
I hope you have a good show.
Yeah, I want you to have a really great Easter. Are you
too.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm so stoked. Are you you jamming in the band this year or? Are you playing?
Always playing the bass.
Oh, you're always playing the bass. That's great. So you're gonna have a good show then.
Yep. We celebrate when Jesus died and then he came back as a chocolate bunny for everyone. So
yeah, yes.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's what Easter's all about, folks.
That's it. Easter candy, chocolate bunnies, and wooden crosses, basically.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, brother. Have a great weekend. Have a blessed Easter, and we'll We'll talk to you next week.
That's right. Hey, and remember, be dialing!
Be dialing, people! Britney Spears' virginity! Get a Mark McGuire rookie card! Be dialing! I do a pretty good Don West myself. Oh, man.
That was...
Dino Bravo Duck Hunt.
What about the Goldberg Ice Scraper,
the
dude?
Goldberg Ice Scraper. That should be a stocking stuffer for you next year.
What about the Michael J. Fox Shake It Weight?
The Shake It Weight. The Cagney and Lacey Salt Shaker. One's more salty than the other.
What was the other thing you said before all that stuff?
Honky Tonk Guitar Hero.
Oh, man.
Come on, dude. The Lex Express Racing Set. That's fucking that's fantastic.
The Rey Mysterio, what is it, the Duplo?
The Duplo, yeah.
Oh, man.
You got a young kid. Get the Duplo. Be dialing. Pack Rat Macon, Georgia. Shout out to Macon, Georgia, man. Shout out to everybody listening worldwide, countryside. Oh, man, that's great.
Wow.
Dino Bravo Duck Hunt.
How did they come up with this? Where did they get these products?
I don't know. But you can buy them. And he plugged our shirts, too.
And also, yeah, use FlexPay to buy that stuff.
FlexPay. Just like the Home Shopping Network. Dude, I can't stop.
That was
too fucking much, man. So, anyway. Alright. Alright, let's get back on track here before we take a break. I read today, this is going to segue into last Sunday's New Japan California card that you need to watch.
I know.
Strong Style Evolved. So, Cody Rhodes posted this afternoon or this morning that they're changing the Bullet Club logo.
Oh, boy.
Circa NWO, like 2000, right? Yeah. Right? You know... I feel like this is just obviously it's a work, right? It's a work, and Mr. X is laughing his balls off. So it's a work. However, I'm excited, and I'll tell you why. And I said this on Facebook today too. I think I want to see them I want to see them as a team implode. And have the old guys go against these other guys, and I want to see the Tama Tongas, and because they fought GOD fought Skrull and Cody at this event last week. Yeah.
Oh boy, it's going down.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's not gonna be as bad as the NWO when they broke up. You're not gonna see fucking 4,000 groups. What you're gonna see is the Bucks are gonna have to make a decision. Because they're really good friends with Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And they're technically OGs now of the Bullet Club, you know. More than Kenny Omega is, and more than Paige is, and more than Cody is, and all that.
But the same could be said. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I want to see this new logo. I want to see them implode. And then I want to see the resurgence, you know. I'm pretty sure that Anderson and Gallows are going to go back probably eventually when they're done with WWE. Like, there's going to be no... Yes, Shaylin, he did had the Tammy Sitch sheet set, which I think your store should be selling soon. Where Shaylin works. Anyway, yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see this implode. I want to see Cody, because he's a fucking heat magnet right now. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see that. I want to see them implode. I think it's going to be a great deal, you know. Dude, I'm telling you, you missed a great, great fucking show last week.
Just the main event itself just sold itself.
I mean. So I'll run down the card.
Yeah.
Chaos, which was Roppongi 3K.
Okay.
Is Rocky and Sho and Yo, a.k.a. the Tempura Boys.
Yeah, Tempura Boys.
They beat SoCal Uncensored.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good match.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
They hit the 3K Roppongi on Scorpio Sky.
They didn't. It wasn't for the Ring of Honor six-man titles.
It was not for the six-man titles. No. New tag team of David Finlay and Juice Robinson.
I like that.
They beat... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go.
They beat Gato and Goto.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Juice is over, man.
Juice, I know Juice is over.
No, like, he's, like, they, he was really
Gato's
over.
Gato's so tough, man. I can never see that guy
yeah.
get
Yeah. He's old, though. Like, he's
like, 40.
He's a booker. He's a booker.
Yeah,
he's a booker now.
But he lost so much weight. He looks, and he looks, he was always great. I always thought he was great.
He was a bit of a mismatch. Chuck E. T. from the
Best Friends
teaming up with Toriano. More chaos, guys. Against the Killer Elite Squad.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They got murdered.
They did. They did. So, now, after this match, Cody comes out and cuts a pre-match promo on how there's not going to be a match tonight against the GOD because Bullet Club are friends and whatnot. So, Tangaloa offers up a contrary position that they are not going to deny the good people of Long Beach a match tonight. And it's going to happen. And then he starts rolling
punches. How tall is that guy?
He's tall. Not the tall guy. This is the... This is Haku's kids.
Oh, Camacho and
Yeah. So...
When is Tama going to branch out on his own?
I don't know, but...
That guy's money.
So, Bullet Club gets the win over the GOD. Cody hits the crossroads on Tangaloa, right? Marty Scurll, during the match, found it hard to fight them.
Really?
Yeah, he was playing it off like, this is not right, we shouldn't be doing this, and the more he got into it, the more... You know, the match got better, but like I said, it's gonna happen. It's gonna fall apart, and I'm excited for it because there's a lot of talent there. You know, and then you got the OGs. You got fucking Fale and Takahashi, the Pimp, Tokyo Pimp, and I mean it's gonna happen. So
there's a lot of talent in that group.
Los Ingobernables de Japón, I said it right finally, which is Bushi, Takahashi, and Sanada, and Naito, for all four of them, beat Dragon Lee, Tanahashi, Kushida, and Taguchi by pinfall.
Wow.
They hit the Destino on Naito, from Naito on Taguchi.
Gotcha.
You know. Ray Ray comes out.
Cuts that promo.
Cuts the promo that he's hurt.
And he can't fight Liger.
He can't fight Liger, so Will Ospreay fought Liger. With the and beat him with the Os Cutter.
Okay.
Post match, Ospreay cuts a promo putting Liger over, said he's so proud to wrestle him at 53. He thanks them for everything he's done, blah blah blah. But he wants to carve out his own legacy with the Junior Heavyweight Championship, and he has to go through one man, and he points to Rey Mysterio. So look for Ray Ray to fight Ospreay for the.
Can Ray Ray even hang with Ospreay? I don't think so, man.
Well, listen, if Liger can hang with him, and Ray Ray is.
Ray Ray's
my age.
Yeah, Ray Ray's 10 years younger than Liger.
Exactly.
But Liger's not as injured as Ray Ray.
All I'm saying is that if he's at least 70%, that might be a good match.
It might be, but Ospreay's fast.
This match here almost stole the show until the main event.
Okay.
It was Suzuki Goon, I should say. It's pronounced Goon, but it's spelled Gun.
Yeah.
It's Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. They beat Okada and Ishii by submission.
Really?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you had any doubts that Zack Sabre Jr. was underweight or couldn't hang, him and Suzuki were like a machine. They were awesome.
I think Zack Sabre Jr. at one point was considered the Daniel Bryan of...
Yeah.
He has that same style.
Yeah. New Japan announces a return to the U.S. on July 7th for G1 special event.
Nice.
And then they're doing a show in San Francisco with the Cow Palace, Fighting Spirit Unleashed. So Cali's getting all the shows.
Yeah.
This was another good match. Jay White defending the U.S. championship against Hangman Page.
How was that?
Great. He hit the Blade Runner.
Ugh.
Right? And it was like, just barely. Like, Page gave him a run. I could see Adam Page as a champion by year's end. He might be a main player. Whether it's against Jay White or Tanahashi or anybody. I see him in the IC title or the U.S. Championship.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Page, when we met this man, prior to him meeting him, we thought he was going to be the biggest dick because... He is such a good heel. He's a very good heel. We met him. He was so fucking humble. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in wrestling. If you guys haven't seen this guy wrestle, please do yourselves a favor and watch him, because he's very good.
Look at Matt Squires just sent me.
I can't.
That's our picture for the show tonight, for the show synopsis. Don't even say anything.
Oh, my fucking God.
Don't even say
he's
anything.
He's a genius.
Don't even say anything. Thank you, Matt. That's going to be our picture tonight.
Oh, I'm
for the show synopsis.
All I'm thinking about is Marlboro Reds right now.
Hashtag bootleg cigarettes?
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, then David Finlay comes out and jumps Jay White.
What?
Yeah.
He's going for the strap now?
He's got a title match on April 24th in Kerrigan Hall.
What?
Yes, he does. So, again, New Japan is picking up the pace, telling stories, and I was telling this to Mr. X last week. X is texting me. He's like, I can't believe I'm missing this. I can't believe this is happening. I said, it's a breath of fresh air, and we've been telling people for months it's an alternative, okay? It's not as – it's – for the hardcore Japanese fan, it's not fucking old Japan. It's not DDT. It's not – it's strong style with WWE mixed in it now, and it's telling a good story.
I just hope they get a national deal with the United States, like a national, not with access. I'm talking about like actually have a legitimate like
TV show
for us to see.
There's a problem though; they don't tape TV. Like they don't have a weekly TV show.
They should though. They would make money, dude.
See, dude, their travel schedule is not like WWE's.
I know.
You know, and you forget how big Japan is.
I know,
right? So I'm cool with access. I am. And with this, now they all have streaming networks. Old Japan got one now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. I know DDT's got one, apparently. There's a bunch of them. That's where Coco Banner is this week, I think. He's in Japan.
Yeah.
But anyway, Noah's got one, I think, now. Yeah,
really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. They're all getting one. So, the main event.
Yeah, this I heard was the show stealer.
Okay. So, it depends on who you talk to. You talk to Mega Powers, it was overhyped. Of course, this is Mega Powers, and he's, you know, he's the aficionado of the crew, apparently, of anything Japan,
yeah.
Right? But you talk to everybody else, and it was like Meltzer gave it 5 stars.
I know, I heard.
So I had class that day. I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was falling asleep during the match, not because I was bored, because I was fucking exhausted. Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega, and Kota Ibushi against the Young Bucks, okay? And it was good. Top to bottom. Everybody got their spots in. There was this hate-love thing going on with the Bucks and Omega. Like, they didn't want to fight. But for the sake of... Like, they... Listen. You know, Dave mentioned on Facebook that... Mega Powers, I say. Dave Mega Powers. Dave mentioned that there was too much overselling. If you're going to go that route and say they were overselling and nitpick at it, okay, so be it. But, however, I will tell you this. It told a really good story. And like I said, this whole Bullet Club thing is going to implode. Because Cody now has the match with Kenny Omega this weekend coming up in Louisiana for Supercard of Honor.
Yep.
You know, which, let's be honest, Chop. I mean, this match is going to set the tone for the whole angle, okay? Because here you are, like, who's in charge? Clearly Kenny Omega has this issue now because he's supposed to be in Bullet Club, but now he brought it back his old tag team partner,
yeah,
who he's had crazy success with. But then he's got this allegiance to the Elite. He is the Elite. Him and the Bucks are the Elite.
Yeah.
And then he had Marty Scurll and Paige and other guys, but those three are the Elite. What's going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you see the angle going?
I know you don't think this, but I can see the Gorillas of Destiny being, like, a group. Not, like, you know, Tama, you know, all the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Luck. And I can see the Elite with, you know, the Bucks, Omega, maybe even Adam Page. And then you have the last remnants of the Bullet Club with, like, Cody and Marty and... Who else could be left? But I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting storyline for New Japan. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited for it, man. I really am excited for it. I want See, I'm not a big Cody Rhodes guy. I do like him, and I'm glad he's making his money. Listen, anybody, he had big shoes to fill, and he kind of did okay with WWE. He was IC champ. He was tag team champion. I think he was US champion, I believe.
No.
He wasn't?
Nope.
I know he was IC champion.
He was IC champion, and he was and tag team champion. And when he was in OVW, he was the heavyweight champion, TV champ, and tag champ over there okay. as well.
You know, great, you Dusty Rhodes' kid. Those big shoes to fill, right? But
I still think he hasn't even filled Goldust's shoes,
dude,
man.
He walked away from guaranteed money. He walked away from a job. He didn't get fired. He wasn't released. He walked away while he was still technically relevant and made his own money. Like, listen, he didn't just go out and say, I'm Dusty Rhodes' kid, and that's how I'm getting booked. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm Dusty Rhodes' son, I'm getting booked. He can really wrestle. Like, the kid can, we've seen him final battle with Dalton Castle.
Yep.
The match he had with Jay Lethal last year. Like, the dude's putting on classic fucking matches, okay? It was only fitting that this heel Bullet Club thing was going to happen, you know? And he appreciates the business.
Is that William Morgan?
That is William Morgan.
Hey, Will, what's up, dude?
Mr. Will, I am Morgan. So they win the match. The Golden Lovers win. They hit the golden trigger on Matt, right? After the match, Cody comes down to berate the Bucks for losing. That's another thing.
Oh, okay? Boy.
Which brings the Golden Lovers back to run them off. Omega offers a hand in friendship to the Bucks. Nick accepts. Matt rejects. Matt, again, they're playing it off. Like I said, before cutting a promo about how the Golden Lovers are here to stay and how he's going to kick the poop out of Rhodes. Kick the shit out of Rhodes. You know, again, it's telling a really good story. There's a team that had history. New and old. It's that kind of fucking party, you know? So, I mean, it's not a bad deal, man. Again, it's just good storytelling, and there's alternatives. If you guys don't like WWE, there's alternatives.
I really do like New Japan. I just, you know, there's so much. I think the market right now is so oversaturated with wrestling that it's very hard to actually sit down and take the time to actually watch the product, another product. And not to say that New Japan is bad, because it's not bad. It's very, very good to watch. It's like what I said. It's just sitting down to have the time and watch it.
Right? Yeah, it's very hard. Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes I'm watching it for the sake of the show. Yeah. Sometimes I'm watching because I have time. Sometimes I just, you know, feel like I need, because of course, because you gave me access to Hulu. Now I feel a lot better watching the condensed shit rather than the 2 hour, 3 hour bullshit.
I actually even gave my account, I believe, to Carlos because he was thinking about getting rid of the network. Because he's not feeling the network anymore. Because I told him, he asked me, he's like, should I get Hulu? And I was like, why? And I asked him why, and he was like, well, you know, I heard that 205 is on there, NXT is on there, and I'm really not feeling the pay per views anymore for WWE.
You know, I want to just, and I hope Carlos is listening.
Yeah.
This is for Carlos and anybody else who wants to disconnect from the network. Okay. You have to be an A, casual fan to quit. B, really hate wrestling right now, like the guy Gavin from BSB, OG Gavin.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, those two, right? If you don't get it for the nostalgia alone.
Yeah.
And, like, the back content, like, there's so much going on in the network, man. Really, just stick to it. Like,
he said he was thinking about it. I don't think he actually did it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're a casual fan, you're still getting the pay-per-views every month. You're still going to get the big four. Like, you're still getting things. I wouldn't give up on it. I haven't quit yet. I've kept my subscription since it started. I haven't quit and went back. None of that. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to get a 3-month subscription for my nieces and nephews for their birthdays. Because my nephew likes it, so I'm send him that for his birthday's coming up, I think, in May. So he'll do that and shit. Anyway, are we good? Anything else? I mean,
no, dude, I'm good.
We talked about everything, I think, right? We're good. We got a kick-ass throwback for you tonight.
For sure.
Yeah.
What is it? WCW Uncensored.
Yeah, 1998. All right, so listen, guys, hang out for a few minutes. We're going to grab some beverage, and we're going to plug our friends, mm-hmm. and then we'll be back with a really good throwback.
Yeah.
All right, with Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're live on the Rant, rantemradio.com. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Alright, we're back.
We're back. I love that theme song.
You remember it?
Dean Malenko.
Of course.
The Shooter. Actually, the Iceman at this point.
Yeah, he was the Shooter. He was the Iceman. No, he was the Shooter first. Then he was the Iceman. Then he was the Man of a Thousand Holds.
And then he was the ladies' man in WWE.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was that one move he threw when he was on the top rope and he had the guy
The Gutbuster.
The Gutbuster, right? Mm-hmm. That fucking move was great.
My God, I remember Jericho knew three more moves than he did.
Remember when Jericho came out with that list?
It was fantastic.
It rolled out to the floor like a
stand. My list! My holds!
We're eating Easter candy, by the way.
Nom, nom, nom.
Cadbury mini eggs. The one that, they're chocolate with the candy coating.
It's fantastic. Truly majestic.
Nice shirt. What is that? I'm Amish Mafia?
I got it in Lancaster, buddy.
With us?
No.
No.
Prior,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the only thing we bought was fucking pretzels and and I bought some gear.
And goodies.
And hats. Yeah, we bought hats.
You know what I'm thinking about? Could you imagine if Goldberg had came out to Dean Malenko's music?
I like Goldberg's music. I know you didn't when I played it, but...
Fuck Goldberg. I'm just talking about the music itself.
The music makes... Listen, I said this on the show 2 weeks ago. The music sometimes makes the person, you know?
Fuck Goldberg.
Yeah, you and Big Tone hate Goldberg.
Fuck him! He's my fucking big-ass Jamook who couldn't fucking wrestle.
Jamook. It's awesome.
Anyways.
You ready for a throwback?
Happy Passover, Mr. Goldberg.
Yeah, happy Passover. It's a good Friday. Tomorrow's probably Saturday.
It's going to be good Friday all night, by the way. Until 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you got like another hour.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. It was good today until Michael revealed to us that he didn't believe in the Easter Bunny anymore. It broke my heart a little bit.
Could have been a lot worse. He could have told you, hey, I don't believe in Santa either.
Well, I'm sure it's coming this year.
Oh, yes, it is.
But when he found out who his Easter Bunny has been the last 8 years, your boy right here has been Easter. I gave him all those sick, awesome wrestling presents.
You know how I found out about the Easter Bunny?
I want to hear this story.
So I go up to this is how I found out about the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy.
And the Tooth Fairy?
Watch this.
Oh.
Listen to this one.
Oh, boy.
So I go up to my parents, right? And then, it's Easter time. And I was like, you know, 6 or 7. And my parents, Portuguese, don't know anything about American customs. And I go up to them, I was like, hey, Ma, Dad, is the Easter Bunny going to give me anything this Sunday? Easter Bunny, what the hell are you talking about? There's no such thing as the Easter Bunny.
Your parents told you that?
Yeah! Easter Bunny, what? No, get out of here. And then comes the days when I lose the tooth, I put it under the pillow. I had dinner like 5 times, and every morning the tooth was still there.
Fuck.
I go, I was like, how come the tooth fairy doesn't give me money? Money? For what? For a dirty tooth? Get the fuck out of here.
Your parents told
you? Yeah! There you
man,
go.
Man, Choppy's mom.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
There you go. That's why.
Man.
Why do you think I don't give a shit about shit like this?
Man.
I remember it was Christmas time rolled around, and then my wife was like, so what toys are we getting for Logan? Toys? He doesn't even know what the word toy is. Get the fuck out of here, toys for Logan.
Yeah, but this year you gotta get him toys.
For what?
For Christmas.
He doesn't know what the word toy is yet.
Dude, he's a toddler now. He knows what toys are now. He already has a toy.
He doesn't know what the word toy is.
Doesn't matter. Like he can appreciate the toy now.
I'll get him a spoon.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Will you stop?
Oh man.
I'll get him a butter knife.
You're an asshole. You are an asshole, man. You are an asshole.
You're a cunt.
Yeah, that too.
I'll get him a fork so I can stick it in the outlet. What was that?
I hit the wrong button, you fucking piece of shit parent.
I'm not that bad. I went to go pick him up in Harlem today.
Yeah. Well, listen, Uncle Phil will have a present or a toy for him for Christmas.
Oh, God.
Piece of shit.
You're an idiot. Don't do that.
You got to bring him to the church thing we're doing tomorrow so you can get pics taken with the Easter Bunny.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny's going to be there. He'll appreciate that.
It's not even real. Some dude in a fucking suit.
Will you stop?
Fuck him!
Will you stop?
All right, you know my fuck you wrestler of the week is the Easter Bunny. Fuck him!
It is Easter...
Yeah! Fuck him!
Easter Bunny doesn't wrestle.
Fuck it.
Yes, he did. He got stunned by somebody, didn't he? Didn't he get the stunner from Stone Cold?
thought that was Santa Claus.
Same shit.
No, it's not the same shit.
Okay, terrific.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
You're a slob. At least I moved away from the mic.
You're lucky you didn't fart on the mic this time.
I ain't got to use that mic. You do. Fuck you. Fart on my mic, I'll kick your ass. Fucking pain in the ass.
That's right. Pastor Dell's correct. Adam Rose had a bunny. Use him.
Yeah. That's right, Pastor. Yeah. What's the matter?
No, just downing some.
You good?
I'm good.
You are you satisfied?
Oh yeah. So date of this event was March 15th, 1998. The attendance 7,475 people
from Mobile, Alabama.
From the Mobile Civic Center in Mobile, Alabama, the home of Hardcore Holly.
Tagline was "Rules are for fools."
Ooh, what a tagline that was!
Do you see the remember the VHS cover?
Mm-hmm.
It was Hogan choking Savage in the cage.
You mean this one?
Yes! That's it! That's it! Thank you for everything.
The
Yeah, you said March 15, 98.
Yep.
It's on the network.
Fantastic.
Except they put Jericho's Y2J music.
Yeah.
So today I'm watching it again, right? And I'm just, moving around the room, getting, like, folding laundry and shit. And I hear, break the wall down. I'm like, oh, man, no.
They ruin it. They got to put in the fucking Pearl Jam ripoff.
Yeah. So it's Mike Tenay, Tony Schiavone, and, of course, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes.
9 matches in total.
This was a really good pay-per-view.
It was decent.
I enjoyed the fuck out of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, for 1998, it was really good.
Our opening match, Booker T, who is the current World Television Champion. Going up against Latino Heat.
I thought Eddie Guerrero was...
No.
No, Booker T was the champion, right?
Yeah, Eddie never won the belt.
Eddie didn't, yeah, right. He was Cruiserweight champion.
He was Cruiserweight champ and a United States Heavyweight champion.
Yes. Yeah, this was Booker T's rise.
Yes, to the single stardom.
Really good match. What I got away from it was, what I got from it, besides being a really sound match, was the fact that Eddie was a great heel. We all know how great Eddie was.
I don't know if you noticed it, but his physique was starting to, like, falter a little. He wasn't as...
Very good point.
You noticed that, right?
Very good point. And the whole thing, the whole dynamic with Chavito was really good, too. I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed that a lot.
Eddie looked very tired in his face.
Eddie always looked tired, though. Eddie worked too hard. Yeah, that's why he passed away, because, he fucking...
Overworked himself,
and he was taking the pills and stuff. So you put your heart into overload.
I mean, those multivitamins are good for you, so why would that...
Yeah. Those strawberry... the Jeff Hardy strawberry pills?
Yeah, those are pretty good for you.
Those are pretty good for you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Be dialing, people.
Why Don West always sound like a fucking mongoloid on the phone?
I remember coming home. I used to be a bouncer. I would come home like 3-4 in the morning from my shift.
Yeah.
And he'd be on. Selling fucking swords and Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa rookie cards and be dealing people. Get the samurai sword now, be dealing people. Mark McGuire rookie card, be Sammy Sosa people. Yeah.
Anyway. Booker T wins the match with the missile drop kick.
Yes.
And then Chavo kind of like has a little smirk on his face when he...
And he slaps the shit out of him.
And then he was like, you smiling? He was like, what? I can't smile?
And he slapped the shit out of him. So good.
Oh, man. Following match.
Yes.
Juventud Guerrero.
The Juice just lost his mask, actually, in an angle.
It looked like he was 12 years old in this match.
He was always 12 years old.
Juvie. Against Conan, who looked like he was 50.
Conan always looked 50. Poor Conan.
Conan was so out of shape in this match. Oh my god.
I got to get the interview. It's not WCW related, but it's ECW related. When Conan is about to make his debut in ECW, and Joey Styles is telling Sandman, Conan making his debut next week in ECW TV, and he's like, Conan! I wish I still had it. It was hysterical. Because he sounded like he was polluted, too. Yeah. Conan is coming! He had a G next to his name. What people don't, I mean, people do know now, but what people didn't know then was Conan, very instrumental behind the scenes, worked side by side with Bischoff, getting all the talent over there from Mexico.
From CMML and...
had an influence on getting Psicosis and Ray from ECW over there. Like, Conan was the guy. Conan was the middleman. Same way,
yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he also brought in Super Crazy to ECW.
Yeah, same way Chono was with New Japan, with WCW back then. Right, same thing. Speaking of Chono, did you see that kick on Facebook with that little kid? It's like a 2 second clip of a girl running across the room kicking a brother in the face?
Yes, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
How funny was that?
I don't know how funny it was for the guy who took it.
What up, Iron? It's our boy Brian. Thank you, brother.
Hello, sir.
He bought some shirts this week. Thank you, bro.
I think it was four, wasn't it?
Well, now I think he has all four of them now.
God damn.
But, hey, listen, man.
He be dialing!
Be dialing, people! Get the New Japan Dan Michael Throwback shirt! Get the World of Sport logo, people! Be dialing! Britney Spears' virginity, yeah! Anyway.
You almost sound like Macho Man in that one.
Oh, God, I just hurt myself. Anyway, no more Don West tonight. No, but again, Conan was very instrumental behind the scenes. I was always a big fan of Conan. Always. I thought the hybrid style, where he wasn't Lucha, but he had Lucha influence.
He incorporated Lucha Libre, and then he incorporated a little bit of a brawler style. Then he incorporated a little bit of the technical style as well, too.
Right.
Because if you remember, his finishing move was the Tequila Sunrise. What's the matter now?
Mr. X texted me and said, Choppy has heel parents.
Why do you think I'm such an asshole?
You had heel parents. That's awesome.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. If I wasn't using Dino Bravo Duck Hunt, I'd be using that as the name of the show. Choppy has heel parents. Oh, man. And you wouldn't know it because I didn't meet your dad yet, but I met your dad for like 30 seconds. Yeah, yeah. But I know your mom. Pretty decent. I've met your mom a few times now.
My dad, he sounds like he looks like he's Russian anyway, so who cares? Just joke. I love you, Dad.
Yeah, shout out to Choppy's heel parents. Anyway, yeah. The match was good. I mean,
I enjoyed it. I mean, Hoovy took a beating in this match.
Hoovy always took a beating. Oof. Hoovy was like the Ricky Morton of Mexico.
Holy shit.
He was like the Ricky Morton of Mexico.
That cradle DDT?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Tequila Sunrise was kind of crap, Mongo, but when he hit it, when it was done well, it was good.
Yeah.
The problem was with that move, and Mongo has a great point that it sucked, is that only half the time it would come off right.
Yeah.
Like when he did it in ECW... It was good. Oh, man.
Oh, dude.
This is fucking... I mean, again, it's those certain moves that guys do. Like, you know, either you do it or you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are times where Joe throws that muscle buster, and you're like, oh, man, he hit that good. And then the other night's like, eh, men's and men's. You know, men's and men's.
Yeah.
Speaking of... Chris Jericho, the Cruiserweight Championship.
This was really good.
The newly turned heel Chris Jericho with the Cruiserweight Championship. Defending against the shoot. Oh, now it's the Iceman.
Now it's the Man of a Thousand Holds.
The Man of a Thousand Holds, right? these guys fought a dozen times, like a couple dozen times. Yeah.
My favorite moment with these guys is when Jericho was doing, I guess, the battle royal with the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
And then Team Malenko comes in dressed up as Ciclope. And he removes the mask, and there's like the biggest pop of Dean Malenko's career right there.
Yeah.
That was great.
Dean Malenko and I share a birthday.
Get out of here. Same birthday as you.
Dean Malenko, Kensuke Sasaki.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Barack Obama, Louis Armstrong, former Major League manager.
Dallas. I see blue. Skies are blue. I saw your mama sniff that airplane glue. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
Anyway, who else? Roger Clemens, the pitcher, has my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of guys have my birthday. A lot of guys and girls have my birthday. An ex-girlfriend of mine has my birthday. Yeah. You actually met her at the wrestling match. She's not... Well, I'll point her out to you. Yeah, I'll get into it. I'll tell you after the show. But, yeah, she...
Oh.
Yeah. Not. Anyway, she's a year older than me.
Oh.
So she has... See, we had the same birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people share my birthday. But yeah, the shooter and Kensuke Sasaki.
That's pretty dope.
Pretty dope, right?
Was it, and that was Hawk's tag team partner in Japan, wasn't it?
The Hellraisers, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, he was also WCW United States champion.
He was U.S. champion.
Yeah, man.
Yes, he was. And he actually had one of the illest mullets on the planet.
Ooh.
Because he had the big spiked hair in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was dope.
I remember his mullet being pristine condition against Sting for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, he was U.S. champ for a minute. Again, that was another exchange with New Japan back in the day, you know? Yep.
I think the WCW had a really good relationship with New Japan at this
they
time.
Did.
Oh, my God.
They did. And it was Chono.
Yeah.
Because then Chono had the NWO over there. And then when Muda defected and went over there with them, it was pretty dope. This was a good match, though, man. These guys. What?
What was the diss that Jericho said about Dean Malenko? He called him Stinko Malenko.
Stinko Malenko. That's right.
Stinko Malenko.
That's right. That's right.
Stinko. So the match was really good.
Yeah, talk about it for a little bit.
And it was like the my favorite spot is when he hit the gut buster off the top of the rope. Dean Malenko onto Jericho.
Yes. I love that move.
Oof, but it's so hard to pull off if you're not strong enough to pull it off.
Well, these guys, listen, say what you want about WCW, but the undercard always stole the show.
Yes.
And now, as an older fan, you really appreciate these matches. Like, back in the day, you're like, these were good matches. These are good matches, and no one wants to see them. But now you're like, now you want... I go back and watch these just for the undercard.
Yeah.
Mainly for the undercard.
And then Jericho actually gets the lion tamer. At one point, you know, Dean is getting closer to the ropes. And then Jericho's like, fuck that. Drags him right to the middle of the ring. And then he really, like, puts the knee to the back. With the lion tamer, and then Dean Malenko taps out. After the match, Mean Gene comes out, and he was like, "What's next for Dean Malenko? You lost this last month, you lost month before that, and you lose tonight." And then Dean Malenko says, "I'm going home," and he just walks off.
Yeah,
into the sunset.
Yep.
And then your next match.
Yeah, well, he taps clean. That was almost 15 minutes.
It was a good match. It was great. It was 14 minutes and 42 seconds.
Now
for the shortest match of the night.
Meanwhile, Raven's in the
internet
position. Yes, he's ranting Raven about Diamond Dallas Mark Page and Benoit. That's when laptops were 75 pounds a piece.
Jesus Christ.
And you couldn't afford them.
And they were like $6,000 a piece.
Yeah, they were $6,000 and they were the size of like briefcases. Next match was Scott Steiner against Lex Luger.
And he was not Big Papa Pump yet, but he was getting there.
Yeah, Tony lays out the background here. Whatever. This was a...
It was a 3-minute match. There's nothing to say about it. It was okay.
Yeah, at one point, Scott slides in the back of the ring, into a bionic international object forearm by Lex Luger.
Dude, that was legitimate. He got a
plate in his arm from a bike accident.
Yeah.
Here comes Scott Norton, you know, the Scott Norton move, you know. Yeah. He tackles Rick from behind. Meanwhile, back in the ring, of course, Lex gets the 1-2-3.
Yep.
And total throwaway, Nitro match, idiotic run-in, NWO bullshit.
Correct.
You know.
The next match.
Post-match, I'm sorry. Scotty no-sells the pin, waffles Luger from behind. Mm-hmm. Rick never wanted to be upstaged. He no sells Flash Norton's beatdown. We love Flash Norton. Turnbuckle Throwback is a huge fan of the Flash Norton.
Love Norton.
And then they hit Luger's music, and that was it. Yeah. Bullshit. Your next match, Choppy, is for the...
The triple threat for the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship match of the night.
No count. Is it really?
For me, it was.
Yeah, I might have to agree with you. No count outs, no DQs, pinfalls count anywhere.
My favorite spot, Lodi comes in with a fucking sign, and then Raven nails, I think it was DDP, and then Raven removes the... I guess the wrapping, and it turns out to be a stop sign. It was so good. I loved it.
How dope was Benoit's baseball slide?
Oh, it was great.
It's almost like he's breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
It was. Like, if he was a breakdancer, he'd be an awesome bebop guy.
Oh,
he'd be an awesome b-boy.
What a fantastic match.
Let's see. Let me get to the finish here. Let's see here. Hold on. Raven sets up a table. Benoit's just about to hang out, you know. So much for that. Benoit turns on Raven and waffles him.
Yep.
Benoit puts DDP onto the table, then gets Raven to the top rope. DDP recovers to dump out Benoit and a super diamond cutter through the table.
Which, it was a little bit of a botch, but it was still done very well.
Yes.
I think Raven could have hurt his ribs on that one.
I wrote fun. Mm-hmm. Very fun.
It's a great match.
For 1998, very innovative.
Yeah. I think, like, I've said this before, and Raven is the most underrated fucking worker in the business at the time. The guy could, he was like the Jake the Snake in terms of psychology. He just knew when to do things in the match.
I wasn't big on him as you were.
I thought he was great.
I appreciate him now more as a... doing this as the watching match, yeah, with the podcast. I will tell you where I want to piggyback on what you said about him knowing stuff, like his ring psychology. I think he was in the perfect places too. Like you, when he fought you, when him and Dreamer were a thing.
Yeah, for 3 years.
He put himself in places very well with him and Sabu, him and Sandman, Tommy,
yeah,
the Dudleys. Like, he would strategically make sure he was in good places to get the spots.
Yep.
He seldom, you know, never really messed up, never really did bad botches. Like, Raven was sound. I don't want to say technically sound, but he was a good performer in terms of, like you said, really good ring psychology, and he just knew where to be at the right point.
You know what was my favorite match, believe it or not? It's not even an ECW match. My favorite match with him is actually him and Jericho for the World Television Championship in Halloween Havoc 1998.
We'll do that this year, yeah.
Oh my god, those guys tore it up.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. We'll do that this year.
Okay.
Trick or treat. No, it was good.
Yes.
It was good. Raven took a beating, though, in this match.
He did. He got his ass kicked!
So, I mean...
I'm telling you, he could have cracked ribs on that fucking table, dude. It looked really nasty.
And it's really not a gem of psychology or like a spot fest. It was just a cool three-way fucking brawl.
Anything with Benoit, it, for me,
it was a hot finish.
It was great.
It was a hot finish. Yeah. Was Jericho better?
Where was Jericho better? Wow. WWE or... Oh, boy.
See, you got to go WWE because he was there longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, because you in WCW, he was just starting to develop his character. By WWE time, his character was already established.
Want the rest of my candy?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, though.
Okay.
And he was already, like, every time, and then he was longer in WWE, and then he started to, like, make his character even better
as, yeah,
he just progressed.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So now Tony, Bobby, and Tenay lay out the rest of the card, including the next match, Giant versus Kevin Nash.
I actually like this match.
Yeah, the powerbomb is allowed for, yes, one night only.
Yeah.
Which is cool. They had JJ come out earlier in the night and talk about that. This was basically a blow-off to Nash breaking the Giant's neck at Sold Out.
Which, you know what? I didn't care for that, for him wearing the stupid fucking neck brace, because you want to know why? When you have, if you supposedly have a broken neck, you can't do all the movements that you do in the fucking ring.
Right.
Even if you are the fucking Giant. Get out of here.
Yeah. Giant, for me, WCW Giant... And I respect the what's the word I want to use, the evolution of his character.
Yeah,
because they took well advantage of his height and weight and the whole thing, and
yeah.
You know, that's one of the, honestly, and that's a credit to Hogan. Like, Hogan saw it.
He just knew.
And sold it to Bischoff, like, yeah, this guy, you have to push him.
He's money.
He is, and 25 years later, he's still talked about, so. And he made the big show, you know, and that was, McMahon definitely capitalized off that. For me, though, this whole back and forth with NWO, I was just like, eh. I liked him in Dungeon of Doom because I hated Dungeon of Doom, and he was credible with Kevin Sullivan.
I thought it was a big deal when he won the title for the first time.
Correct. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But then the NWO and him flip-flopping, I just was like, eh. You know what I'm saying? It just, and I was never a big Kevin Nash guy anyway. Never liked Kevin Nash, really.
I wasn't a big Kevin Nash guy, but I tell you right now, this match with Kevin Nash was pretty good.
No, it was good.
Yeah,
it was good. You know, I'll call a spade a spade. I mean, I don't have to like a guy to appreciate matches. I mean, I hate Lex Luger, but I loved a lot of his matches, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was, you know, no rules, whatever. You know, I'll get into it a little bit. You got any notes over there?
No, just pretty much, you know, it was pretty much, for the Giant and Kevin Nash match, it was just a DQ. I mean, you had a couple times where Giant was capitalizing on throughout the whole match, and then Kevin Nash, I think, did like some, it was a low blow, I think it was.
Yeah, Giant calls for the chokeslam, sets up a jackknife, but then wait, Bryan Adams.
Oh, that's right, Bryan Adams shows up.
With the baseball bat.
Yes, that's what it was.
Waffles Giant from behind for the DQ.
Yep.
At the No Rules pay-per-view. 6-minute match, so much for the blow off. Another awful finish, I thought, for the NWO guys.
Yeah.
They're losing steam a little bit in storyline, credibility, you know, that kind of shit.
Correct.
Whatever. So post match, Vincent and Conan are out as well. Flash Norton's never want to turn down a B team appearance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Giant no sell some bat shots, does a Bo Jackson with the bat.
Yeah.
And chokeslams everybody except for Nash. Nash bails out to avoid the heat, so
correct.
Giant chases them all to the back. So that was 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes. Meanwhile, Scheme Gene wants to dish gossip on WCW Hotline, which is, what number was that, Chop?
1-900-909-9900.
That's right.
Chop, he's a pain in the ass.
Thanks, Mean Gene.
Yeah.
Maverick's in.
Oh,
look at this chat room today.
We got a hop in chat room.
We should
start at 9:30 every week now.
Right? It's awesome.
Thank you everybody for hanging out.
Thank you so much, guys. And thank you for the anonymous user.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people listening in.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I used to feel bad, like, oh my god, we only have 10 people. Meanwhile, there's like 50 people listening, and yeah. Then we get text messages all the time. So thank you very much. You see, now you're saying the match of the night was a DDP match.
You didn't
like Bret Hart, Kurt Hennig?
And I'll tell you why I didn't like it. Because they've had better matches in WWF. This match was good.
See,
it was good.
This is where you're jaded. And I expected this response from you. I swear to God I did.
It was good. I don't think Rick Rude was needed in this match.
No. Well, that was his boy, though.
Yeah, I understand that, but
that
he was
not his boy.
Needed.
Okay.
I still think their match, not in 91. Their 91 match was great, obviously. For
SummerSlam, you're talking
about? Yes. But I still think their 93 King of the Ring match was better than this. I don't know if you remember that King of the Ring match from 1993.
I remember, of course.
That match was way better than this.
That's when Bret beat my boy in the finals.
Yes.
He beat Bam Bam.
Correct.
Sadly.
You got the Bret Hart DVD, right?
Yes.
Remember the match from Spain?
Of course. Oh, him and...
Him and Bam Bam?
Him and Bam Bam.
Woo!
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the King of the Ring match.
Mm-mm.
Do you have the King of the Ring disc?
No, I do not.
It's good. It's hosted by King Booker.
Is it really?
It's really good. If you guys want to buy a good Blu-ray, if you can't download it, get the Best of the King of the Ring. It's really cool. Booker T is King Booker. He narrates it. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
And that match is in it.
Yes.
That's a great match. One of my favorite matches of all time. All right. So this was like the... Another blow off, Brett,
okay.
And you know, waiting out Brett's no compete clause for the Sting Hogan blow off and
yeah.
Whatever. Let's see. Let's see. Get into the match here. Where is it?
Oh, and people, if you want to see this match, it's also on the Bret Hart DVD.
Yeah,
It's also it's on
there. This on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's on there.
Let's see if we get to the end. Okay. Okay. Kurt counters a whip. Brett runs into the turnbuckle chest first like he always does for the immediate you know, crowd's immediate fucking holding out there. They yell the "you sold out" chants.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect goes with a perfect plex, hits the 1-2, kicked out. Rude and Perfect are stunned. Brett shoves Perfect into Rude on the apron for the O'Connor roll, but Perfect rolls back to the top with a handful of tights. 1-2, almost got him. Perfect goes for the sunset flip, but Brett rolls through with the sharpshooter. Rude comes in, but he's way too late. Perfect taps out at 13:55.
Yep.
So this was the, you know, where Rude, where Choppy said Rude wasn't, you know, needed. It worked out in the end where Rude could have made the save, and he could make the save.
Yeah.
Basically. So, a worthy chapter in their classics. However, Choppy was quick to point out that the WWE stuff was better.
Just slightly better. Not saying that this match was bad. It was not bad. I just felt that maybe because they're older over here, they're like already 40, you know, 40, 41, and then...
Yeah, but are you thinking about that at 12 years old?
No, I'm not. I'm not thinking about that at all. I wasn't.
Right. Because I want you to be 12-year-old Choppy.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Trust me.
Right.
Okay. At the time, when I first saw this, I was 14. I enjoyed the match, but I already knew that their matches previously were better.
So you had something to look back. You had something to compare it to.
Correct.
For your age, that's fun. For your age, that's fun. Yeah, and I liked Bret Hart when he first broke off in singles, where he was just ruthless. Like, you could tell, like, they would...
That was, like, what, 89?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were just waiting for him to...
You know what's my favorite time? One of my favorite moments is when he, like, hit Bad News screwed him in that battle
in the battle royal, yeah.
And then he
broke the trophy.
Oh, it fucked up that trophy. That was awesome.
one of my favorite spots of all time.
Oh.
One of my favorite spots of all time. Post-match, Rude lays out Brett with the Rude Awakening. Perfect botches a bit of the chair shot, though. But he's the man, so who cares? Would have been 60 years old yesterday.
Yeah, no.
That's three losses for NWO tonight, FYI. If you guys are counting, I was. Because we're piggybacking off, we're doing 1998, so we're piggybacking off, you know, Super Brawl. And then there's three losses, and there's three post-match run-in/beatdowns. So there's a trend here.
Yes.
You could tell that the power is now shifting more back to WCW.
Which, after seeing this pay-per-view, I was like, you know what? Maybe they're trying to phase out the NWO finally. You know?
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, after 2 years of fucking not... Of Vincent. Passes Dell. For my age, I was just happy I remembered the match. Thank you. And my Mets beat his Cardinals yesterday, so ha ha ha.
Oh.
Me and Pastor made a pact like 3 years ago. We're not friends on game day. When the Mets play the Cardinals, we're not friends. But yeah, Yachty fucking hit another home run off us, man. He hadn't hit a home run off us since 2006 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I can't forgive the Cardinals for that. Anyway, WCW heavyweight title match, Choppy?
This was good.
Yeah, you think?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah?
I really did. I just wish they had more time.
Scott Hall going against the mighty Steve. Against our boy.
Hey, yo.
I don't get the hey, yo. I don't get to use it very often.
Hey, yo's.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Pastor, I'll refrain. We still have to play you guys again, I think, tomorrow. So, anyway.
I mean, my favorite spot was Dustin getting involved and dropping the elbow.
Well, let's get into it. So, Hall won. A little backstory. Grassy Knoll. I'll give you Grassy Knoll. You. He's gonna. Now you're bringing up old. God, I hate 2006 fucking Cardinals. God. Good son of a. Anyway. Can't curse Pasta. I love Pasta. Even though he's not my friend right now. You have to wait till next week to be my friend. And I'm anyway, Scott Hall won World War III in November of last year. Of 97, I should say.
Yeah.
Last year of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This could easily have been the springboard into a Batista, Triple H kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, they were in the middle of an epic Sting Hogan thing. Over the next 3 months, Sting and Hogan played the game of Risk over shit, you know. This was just like, you know, this was good. Tanay does say this is the big one in terms of WCW versus the NWO.
Yeah.
This is like, again, like I said, the power is shifting.
Yeah.
It's crumbling. Hall does the whole stealing the belt, making the pose thing, which is cool, right? And of course, it makes Hall look even better because he's got the Bull of the Woods with him, which, you know, for me, it's like, more Dusty is good Dusty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you
know.
How
shocked were you when he joined the NWO?
I told you how hurt I was.
I'm sure you were.
Yeah, you can kiss my ass. Tradition, kiss my ass. That's right. If you put your hands.
If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face.
Side of your face.
You like this hat?
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat.
He's sure. He's like, sure do.
Tony's not going to tell him no. Yeah. At this point, I was kind of pissed off at Dusty for, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. And Dusty, ironically, in the NWO video and a couple other videos, he reveals that it was so bad that even he didn't like what was going on there with the whole NWO thing.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Let's get into this a little bit. All right. You know, there's a double KO spot. Dusty Rhodes tiptoes in, delivers a patented bionic flip-flop,
yeah,
fly elbow on the Stinger. Hall drapes the arm over for the 1-2. No.
No.
Hall goes back for the patented hands on Sting. Sting comes up for the atomic drop, and then the Stinger splash rolls him over for the deathlock, but here comes Dusty again. Yep. Sting lays him out, but when Hall waffles him from behind, Sting sends Hall into a ref bump. Classic Dusty finish right here. This is,
yep,
as soon as you see the ref bump, you're like, ah, Dusty finish. There you go. Dusty tosses Hall some loaded knucks for the haymaker. 1-2.
No.
Hall calls for the edge, but Sting slides behind him for the Scorpion Death Drop.
I love.
Love that. That was a great spot. Oof. For the huge pop.
Yes.
Crowd went huge for that. Sting covers him and retains at 831.
Oh.
So, we've talked about Scott Hall a few times on the show.
We have.
How he was very... You want to talk about underrated. I think sometimes the character becomes bigger than the person. Scott Hall was a phenomenal worker. Was a great big man. Was awesome. My opinion. I don't know, you don't have to agree with me.
No, I think he's great.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You see stuff in him for a guy who's like 6'10", 270, 80 pounds or whatever. The whole machismo, even when he was Razor Ramon, like the stuff he did with Michaels and, you know, like, good, man. Like, and then him and Nash were good, and him by himself, like, he was a good, yes, he could have been world champion, Shaylin, absolutely. Scott Hall could have been world heavyweight champion, hands down. That's a great question. You agree or no?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. If he had just got off the booze and kept himself in the straight and narrow, he could have been a world champion.
See, I don't know about that. I feel like they just had him somewhere else. Like, he was never really a singles guy.
I know Vince never saw him as a world champion material, but when he went to WCW, I saw him as a world champion.
I think this match
proved.
Yeah.
That he can hang.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Remember that ladder match? I don't know if it was a ladder match. It was like 99-2000. Scott Hall came back.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be Sid and a couple other guys, and Scott Hall was involved in the match. I thought
Is Scott that when Sid broke his leg?
No, I don't think it
no?
was that one.
Oh.
But it was like 2000 or something like that, or 99. But I thought, and this is when Sid was the world champion, I thought Scott was going to get the belt at that time.
Yeah.
I thought he really was going to, and he didn't get it. I was so upset.
Fantasy Warfare. Scott Hall as world champion. Oh. We could definitely book that. We could definitely book that as a we could. You could have gave him the belt that night and had him fight Hogan for the NWO, him fight Savage, him fight Nash.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk fantasy warfare, fantasy booking, you could make Scott Hall the world champion. And that's
another, a lot of people in that crowd were so in love with Scott Hall because they thought he was going to win.
He was over.
He was so
the
over.
NWO was still over, even though it's 2 years in.
Yes, I understand. I understand that he was, the NWO was over. But Scott Hall was starting to become more over than the NWO, if that's fair to say.
So you're saying like when they split the NWO up, they were more for him than Nash and the rest of them. That's a fair assessment.
Because he's better than Nash in the ring.
Yeah,
much better. I felt like he was a good communicator too.
Yeah,
with the crowd.
Yeah.
The hey yo shit was so over.
It was very over.
In the survey as well.
Yeah. Post match, Sting tells Dusty to suck it.
Yeah, he does.
It's awesome. And then the main event.
I love Macho, but
Yeah, this is the cage match, Hollywood Hogan.
This should not have been the main event.
Yeah, so, you know, like, the Super Brawl, there was a whole brother.
Brother.
You know, this was the fights for supremacy, who was better. What was cool, too, like, watching interviews now with Hogan and Lanny Poffo, there was always a love-hate thing for real with Hogan and Savage, where Hogan and Savage got along as friends outside of wrestling, and then when it came to the performance side of it, Savage felt like he had enough talent to be probably bigger or better than him and everybody else. And it wasn't more... I feel like when you hear these guys talk, even with Hogan is very humble and, you know, and very complimentary of Savage, right? Like most of his peers were, you know? I feel like there was this mutual respect between these two guys. And Savage, of course, made his niche. You know, I think Savage making the transition to WCW when he was older kind of lamented his legacy. Wasn't as agile as he was before.
It was not in good shape either at this time.
He was a little bigger than normal, but he was crazy over.
Yes.
Still can talk and still had captivated the fan base, you included, right? So this was cool. For me, anyway, watching this again, and then back then and now. The match, no, not so much. Them two, though, the chemistry between the Mega Powers and the NWO and, like, constant fucking beef, constant rivalry, I love it. It was all sorts of fun. The match, though...
Was it main event caliber? Absolutely not.
It was only main event because of the two guys.
Yeah.
And again, this is the thing where WCW at the time didn't think they were dropping the ball with booking. But looking back, there was a ton of cards where you've been on the show now regularly now. It's been over a year. I think it's going to be over a year. Where you have said to me, or I've said to you, when we do WCW cards, and I think I've did this with our other hosts too. How many times have we said this should have been the main event?
Correct, yes.
We do this more with WCW than WWE.
Yes.
This should have been the main event. This should have been the main event. This should have been the main event. Like, we do this all the time, you know? This is no different. You could have flip-flopped the two last matches. You could have had Sting and Scott Hall finish.
You could have had, yeah, I agree.
Right.
I think the world title should always finish. Not this bullshit cage match where you have two guys past their prime trying to still prove that they see who has the biggest dick in the room. And it's like, it doesn't work. Sorry.
It doesn't. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit. Macho calls for the big elbow, but here comes the disciple, barber, booty man, Zodiac.
How about too many gimmicks?
Yeah, Beefcake was out of his mind.
Oh, my God.
He waffles a referee, Mickey J, steals the keys of the cage, opens the door, sneaks in as Macho Man climbs up the cage, lays out Charles Robinson, Little Nietzsche, revives Hogan. Then rather than dive off, Macho climbs back in, hits a 2-on-1, but wait, here comes Sting from the rafters. Hogan and Beefcake then beg as if it was a bit of an awkward standoff because, you know, why wouldn't you just attack? But wait, Savage decks Sting? Yes, he does. Savage pile drives Sting, but Hogan stays at the bay, unsure of what to make of it at this point. Savage is still in WL,
yes,
technically.
Correct.
Savage tells Hogan for life, but then spits on Hogan before diving onto the floor. Macho says, "I don't like you, and I never will." Hogan says, "You're not part of the. You're part of the NWO. You work for me,
whether you like it or not.
What's going on? We're out of here, and tune into Nitro." And this is all in the 17 minutes. So, a little lackluster, but again, this is to see. This is the. It was a pissing contest. That's basically what it was, Chops.
I'll tell you right now, the Booty Man was unrecognizable in this.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was in. He was ripped.
And he had that beard. And,
he had the beard. He had, like, longer hair. He had the bandana. He looked so different. He'd slimmed down so much.
Yeah, he looked like a dejected biker, you know?
Yeah. He looked like Booty Man, but, like, slimmed.
Yeah, it was... Oh, man. Oh.
And he used the fucking stunner as his finishing move.
Yeah,
which he called the Apocalypse.
Yeah. It was an abomination watching him.
Fucking Brother Brudai.
Brother Brudai.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Brother Brudai. What a stupid fucking name, man.
Yeah, Beefcake was cool until he became the barber. That was it. He was so cool. I liked him in the Dream Team with Valentine. He was actually not a bad worker. I mean, he wasn't terrible. They were a good tag team.
He was supposed to get the IC belt if it wasn't for the...
Remember I was at the SummerSlam. And I was like, where's Beefcake?
Could you imagine if he had gotten the IC title, though?
I'm still heartbroken that Honky Tonk had to beat Steamboat for it, you know? But that's another thing. Too many gimmicks, Beefcake. You're right, Shaylin.
What's his real name?
Ed Leslie.
That's right.
Yeah.
From Baston.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, that's him and Hogan are brothers. They're not brothers. I remember back in the day, there was all these rumors before the internet. You know, this guy's a brother. This guy's his cousin. I'm like, no. The Ultimate Warrior is from Queens. No, he's not. He's from Indiana.
See, Chris Candido was no gimmicks needed.
Damn right he was.
Ed Leslie was too many gimmicks needed.
Too many gimmicks needed, Ed Leslie. Thank you. Thank you, Shaylin.
Good God.
Good call, Shaylin. Very good call.
He was overrated, Iron. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Crazy. I can't believe he was in the position that he was. I can't believe he was employed as long as he was in WWE.
That's purely Hogan.
Holy fuck.
Anybody who should thank Hulk Hogan for paychecks is Ed Leslie and the Nasty Boys. Because if it wasn't for Hogan, those motherfuckers wouldn't be there. Let's call a spade, all right? He brought all his friends over. That's basically how it went. So... And that is your throwback for this week.
Yep.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Next week is going to be even better.
See.
Yeah, we're going to have... I really want to try to do two shows next week. If we can't, don't worry about it. But
okay. Definitely
Sunday, 1:30 is going to be our start time. And we have a bunch of shows from the Rant that whole weekend, starting with Thursday. Rant Wrestling is going to Fridays next week, starting next week. But they're going to be... We're going to have an entire weekend of programming for WrestleMania weekend. Every show is doing something, including the Midnight Jury. So don't just tune into that. And I'm sure the Wizards will have something on the Shining Wizards Network. I'm sure Inconclusive is going to have something because their show day is on Sunday. You know, I want to give a shout out to Radioactive Metal. 500 episodes today. So shout out to Snowy and the whole crew over there, Rock and all those guys and girl. Well, I think that's it, partner.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Dude. It's been a day. It's been a long day for you. Been a long day for me.
I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, you ready for bed? You ready to start this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Start
the weekend. I just want to go to bed and just like lay in this rotten bed.
My favorite Easter song I'm gonna play for you guys right now. Creeping Death by Metallica. Listen to the words, man. It's an Easter song. Anyway, I want to thank Don West and Matt Squires for calling in tonight.
Say it again.
Be dialing, people. Be dialing. I want to thank them. I want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight for
waiting
30 minutes for everything.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Maybe we should start to...
Maybe we should.
9:30.
Listen, I'm not opposed.
I don't mind.
No, I'm not opposed. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, man. This has been fun.
I want to thank Moses.
Moses, yep.
I want to thank the Easter Bunny.
Shout out to the Easter Bunny.
I also would like to thank...
Cadbury Eggs.
Yes. And I also like to thank Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah. All right.
He said, hey, Choppy, throwback and Dragon Ball Super coming soon. I hope from your mouth to God's ears, my friend.
So listen, guys, if you are religious, have a blessed Easter. Have a blessed Passover. Hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Shout out to Moses, partner Red Sea. 10 Commandments in effect. Seriously, it's Jesus is the season for the, you know, reason for the season if you're into that. If not, whatever. We'll see you next week. WrestleMania is next week. I can't believe it. It's here.
Is it really next week already?
Next week.
Holy fuckballs.
I know, right? It's April already.
Pastor said, Moses? Question mark? LOL.
That's right. Anyway, so, guys, again, thank you. Oh, yeah. Don't... We can't forget that guy. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Thank you so much, guys. We love you all. So on behalf of my tag team partner, Choppy, I'm the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you to take care of yourselves, each other. You know, don't get arrested. Don't get the clap. Be nice. Don't say those words. You know, those words we don't like.
Ladies, go teabag your boyfriend or...
No. They get teabagged. They don't have the bag. Remember?
Oh, that's right, though.
Silly bastard.
Hold on.
Will you stop? Come on, man.
Stop, gorilla.
Will you stop?
All right. Guys, seriously, thank you so much. I will see you guys next week. We will see you guys next week. Same bad time, same bad... Maybe not same time. Maybe 9:30.
Maybe.
You guys are like...
If it's like this every week, why not?
Seriously, man. You guys are awesome. We're done, man. We had a great night tonight.
Yes, we did.
I'm glad everybody came out. So enjoy your holiday, and we'll see you guys next week.
Si, senor.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.